And you, what? And you know, when I was thinking about water over the dam, sometimes that water takes trash and garbage and stuff with it, you know? But she's loved me and she's forgiven me and she's challenged me and cared for me and forgiven me and loved me and forgiven me and loved me and forgiven me.
I'm reading that.
Yeah, right there, see? For 40 years. But I stand before you today and say I am a blessed man. And I'm a better man because of her being in my life. And just the things that we've gotten to enjoy and experience together has made both of us, I feel like, better. But just thankful for family and friends that over these 40 years God has given us. I can remember when we got married, neither one of us was really living for the Lord at all. We'd kind of had a little experience with the Lord, but we were doing our own thing. And I can remember when we finally, you know, the Lord just finally said, okay, it's time. And one of the things that we did, had to do, was we knew that we couldn't run in the same circles that we had ran in, and we asked God to bring us new friends. And since that day, He continues to bring us friends that that encourage us and love on us, and so we're blessed. And I know, Tom, y'all had what, 48 this week? Yeah. All right, y'all calm down back there. You know, I was just thinking during worship, standing at the altar that day, I didn't have a clue what was ahead of me. You know? No. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but seriously, you know, standing there and pledging my life and my love to Cindy before God and just not even knowing what God had in store for us, you know, what was down the road. And it's so amazing to look back over those years and see, you know, that He was with us every step of the way. I mean, there's times that the water's got a little rough, you know, and there's more water going over the dam than should have probably, but he carried us through, and I'm just so grateful. And I just realized that, you know, how blessed I am. But, you know, and in thinking about that Lord just reminded me, you know, of how good He is to us and what His plans are for us. And that is His plans. His plans were to bless us and to keep us safe. You know, I know we fuss about things and gripe about things, that things don't go the way they ought to go sometimes and all. But when we stop and really think, if you can't find something to be grateful for, then, you know, you're kind of living a pitiful life, really. I mean, I understand there's tough times. There's things that happen that we wonder how we'll get through them. But He's always right there with us. And He's good. And that's who He is. That's His character. And He reminded me of something that we used to do. I grew up in the Methodist Church. And we used to always say this at the end of service. It's Romans 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This version says the Lord turns His face, but we say, shoot, what was it? This went out. Countenance, yeah. Lift up His countenance and give you peace. And I can honestly say back then when I learned it, because we said it every morning at the end of service, you know, and I, you know, didn't really put a lot of effort into learning it, but, you know, when you hear something kind of over and over again, unlike Isaiah can hear something once, and buddy, he will turn right around and spit it right back out. You have to be careful what you say in front of him. But I learned it, but I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. Okay, what does that mean? What is that? I mean, why do we say that? And if you really go back and look at it, in number 6, God is speaking to Moses, and he told Moses, he says, you tell Aaron and the priests, his sons, to speak these words over his people. Now, when you look at that and you think about that, that to me, that's pretty powerful, okay? He wanted the priest to speak those words over his people. That the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. When you think about the fact that this is an instruction from the Lord to speak over people, it's an encouragement. You know, I mean, can't you find encouragement in those words? To realize that the Lord just, he does want to bless you. It's just a reminder of his plan for us and who he is. He's good. He is for us. If you look at it, and I didn't really know this till I got to looking at it a little closer, but when you think of the line, the Lord bless you and keep you, sometimes we kind of get that a little confused a little bit. We think that means, okay, us obeying, us keeping his commandments, those things. But keep is shamar, and it means to put a hedge around with thorns. It means to guard, generally to protect, attend, and keep watch. And so the shepherds back in that day, they would build stone walls, hedges, and then take the, in Haiti we call them pecans, they're big thorny brushes to put on top of it, and they'd keep the sheep in there, keep the predators out. Well, Haiti does that as well. It's kind of interesting that you can kind of see some of those practices still in place, but they put that around their gardens, and the predator over there is a goat, because the goat gets in the garden and he's going to eat the garden up. But to me, to think about that and the fact that his desire for us is that he builds that corral, if you will, for us to be in, to keep the predator out. And who is the predator? We know who the predator is. We you know, sometimes we give him more credit than what he ought to. But God so loves us and so cares about us that he puts a protection around us so that the predator can't get to us. And I just think that's so neat that, it's just like, seem like every day, you know, walk with the Lord, I just pick up something new that just think, God, you are just so good. You're just so good. I didn't understand how I was going to get through this. I didn't understand what was going to happen. And now I can see your hand in it, that you're just so good. But even when you think about that intimate place with him, and if you kind of, he kind of puts his arms around it, that's that hedge. That's that hedge when we stay in that intimate place with him. That led me to Romans chapter 8. And if you hadn't, I just want to encourage you, if you hadn't read Romans 8 lately, Dom says he has, do it. There's so much encouragement in that chapter. I mean, when you just realize, you think, wow, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. And I just want to point out two or three things here in part of 8, but I want to focus on verse 31. But in verse 3, he says, the law was limited by the weakness of human nature to keep the law. Now, we all know that, thank goodness, we don't have to keep the law. Okay? He did away with that. But it's kind of interesting to me that human nature's weakness couldn't even allow it to keep it. So it was the impossibility to start off with, really. And in verse 4, it says, we are free to live not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. I like that. This is the Passion Translation, but the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. We're free to live that way. You may not feel like you're living that way, But you are free to, you know, if you want to make the choice. Verse 5 and 8, it says, those who live by, I like this one too. Those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. We talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, but I love the way he puts this. Those who are led by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is prompting you. It's impulsing you to follow him. And that's, I just love that. That's cool. Verse 10 says, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Another encouraging statement. You are fully accepted by God. You are loved by God. He sent his son Jesus for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a hedge of protection around you. Because we are fully accepted. So many times we get beat up with we're not good enough, or we hadn't done enough, or we hadn't done the right thing, or whatever. And that's just kind of, as I said last week, it's the way that the enemy tries to separate us from God because we don't feel like we're good enough. And then in verse 15, it says, you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading back into the fear of never being good enough. That's not what he gave you. The sphere of religious duty. That's a mouthful. But he's given us the freedom to live by the impulse of the Holy Spirit. I just kind of like that. But to get down to verse 31. It says, so what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me who then could ever stand against us? That's a question. Who then could ever stand against you? For God has proven his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice to us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. That's the ultimate price, that he gave his Son. And so if he gave the ultimate price, why would he hold anything else back from us? But yet sometimes, in the part of our mind that hadn't been renewed, we think, oh, but I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. But he says you are. In verse 33, it says, who then will dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? Who would accuse? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them. The verdict was not guilty. Not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he is continually praying for our triumph? Don't you love that? I mean, a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel that, you know, oh, you know, I'm not good enough. Jesus is just going to get me. Jesus is up there interceding for us. He's praying for our victory, that everything, we make the right choices, that we do the right thing, that we walk down the right path. Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one, it says. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, problems. Have you had a few of those? Are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all important. No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. They're impotent. Can't do it. They cannot come against you. Verse 36 says, even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Listen, even if you look at kind of the, maybe mood's not the right, but the thought towards Christians in America today. I mean, every other religious organization has the freedom to do and express what they want to, but it seems like Christianity is being suppressed. It's being suppressed. So we're kind of like sheep before the slaughter. But 37 says, yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. See, I think probably our biggest hindrance and our biggest asset is us having confidence in who God has said that we are. Brandon talked about identity, who we are. When we know who we are, maybe we don't feel like it. Maybe we sometimes don't act like it. But that's who he said that we are. And when we understand who we are, we can live in that confidence. That these things, all the things that'll come against you, still will not conquer because you're the conqueror. He goes on to say, I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heaven. There's nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. When you read through this, I mean, if this doesn't build you up, if this doesn't just give you confidence, if this doesn't say, man, hey, I'm ready to go, this ought to pump you up. Because this is who he says we are. And he said this to cause us to increase our faith, if you will, our trust, our belief in him. And then verse 39, it says, there is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Man, if you're just having one of them down and out days, you just need to turn to Romans 8 and read through Romans 8. That'll stir you up. That'll build you up. That'll give you encouragement to go forward. Just read it and meditate it. Because it straight out tells you that God is for us. No one or thing can come against us. No one can bring any charge against us or condemn those who God has chosen. Nothing can separate us from his love, and that we are more than conquerors. And take those straws and put them in your hat, and you're good to go. You're good to go. I just look back, just thinking of how blessed I am. When you stop, I know we have those moments kind of in the year. Thanksgiving, usually you'll stop long enough to see what you're thankful for. And maybe things like anniversaries or birthdays or Mother's Day or Father's Day or those kind of things. But every day, guys, we have got so much to be thankful for. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. But yet we sometimes focus on the things. I love the way Joe several years ago talked about big R reality and little R reality. We get focused on the little R realities and not the big R realities. And the big R realities are the one that God has put his stamp on. It's what he said. And when we can keep our focus on what he said, who he said we are, that's the realities that we want to live in. You know, the little R realities run around and try to confuse things. You know, all of a sudden, this looks like a big mess. I don't know how to get out of it. And then all of a sudden, God shows himself. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord keeps you in that place with them big old pecans around the top so that the predators can't get in. That's who he is. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares about us. When you read that and take it in, how can you not love him? How can you not love him? How can you not trust him? If you can read this and believe it, believe that God is saying this to you, there's no other answer except to love him and trust him and walk him through. Let him walk you through life. How can you not be willing to live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit? I know we all have come to those places and had those times that we knew that was the Holy Spirit. We just knew that was the Holy Spirit. That's the impulses. Because he's there. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. He stays with us to walk us through everything. He's not surprised by anything. He's not surprised by you. What you might do, what you might say, he's not surprised. But he's a good daddy and he loves him. He is for us. He is for us. I am a blessed man. And 40 years and counting. However many more that might be, I don't know. But it's funny, though, because, you know, when you start getting to this point, you start thinking about how many are left. I can remember when we got married, I wouldn't care how many was ahead of me. You know, that wasn't even, that number didn't matter at all, you know, at that point in time. Glenda, how many years did y'all have before Miller died? 43. 43 good years, wasn't it? Awesome. You know, there's still a lot of things that I don't understand why they happen. But the only thing that I know that I can put my arm around is that he loves us, he cares for us, and he will walk us through it. He'll walk us through it. You know, I can't, and I know she's not here this morning, can't help but think about Heather. And at such a young age, Will, you know, being gone. But man, if you see her posts and some of the things, she is anchored in the Lord. And you can tell it's the Lord that's given her strength to walk through that. I don't see how anybody, if he hadn't have been in this wouldn't be today. Would you say? Probably, more than likely. You know. I don't see how anybody, any marriage. Marriage can be challenging. Okay? Marriage can be challenging. But when you've got him as a referee, kind of, he can help. He can help you through those challenges. And the neat thing about it to me is that you come out on the other side so much better than you were when you go through them with him. But you got to have him through there. So I want us to do this in closing this morning. I want us to speak this word from Numbers 6 to each other. And I'll say it and let you say it behind me. That way, if you didn't grow up in the Methodist church, you know, and it wasn't real fresh there in your mind, you can say it. So just, I mean, look at somebody next to you or whatever and say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." It must have been important to God. Wow, y'all are so obedient this morning, man. Way overboard. Okay. But all right, just a second. But it must have been important to God for his people to know that if he gave them instructions to speak that over his people. We need to speak that over ourselves. More than you know, and I look back now, I said it wasn't a bad thing. Maybe it was rote. Maybe we were doing it out of habit, you know, in the Methodist church. But there's something about the spoken words that go out that are important.
I just wanted to say, while we were in break earlier, what's your name? Amy. I want, God led me to go have Amy pray for me, and I was having a lot of upper back pain, and as soon I could feel the anointing just washed through my back, and it's gone.
Yeah, that's good. So we want to pass it forward to Glenda. Glenda's having some shoulder back injuries. Okay, and you know, here's the neat thing about it, guys. I love it. It ain't got to be the preacher. We're all equipped. We're all called to do that. We're all called to step out. Maybe you may not have the answers, but if you got an ear, you know, to listen and just be sensitive, the Lord is going to give you something to say. I was watching Janae's little post thing that she's got going on right now. Have y'all seen that? Challenging you to go out and pray for somebody. And it's really neat, the opportunities that are arising on there. And that's purposed to do that. A lot of times we don't purpose to do it, but when we do purpose to do it, I guarantee you, God will show you somebody to pray for or somebody that needs something. Yes, Cheryl.
Earlier, I could shout. Earlier, and I was sharing this with her, that something had happened, and I was just really being blessed by what happened, and I said, you know, thank you, God, for using me. And he said, well, you're the deliverer of hope in a hopeless world. And I shared that with her, but as you were closing, I thought, you know, that's the point. We are the deliverers of hope for one another, but in a world that has no hope.
Very good. Yes. Yeah. Listen, we need our own hope stirred up a little bit from time to time, you know? I mean, we really do. And so, anyway, I just feel like the Lord just wanted to encourage us this morning with his word. Because that's who he says that we are. And that's what he said about us. Now, you know, we all like to be talked about when it's a good thing, right?
I have something to say.
You know, the Lord had me go over to Brandon during break and just thank him for being so true to the core in his worship, because he takes us right to the throne room, and so does all the other worship leaders, but particularly I went over to Brandon, and I couldn't stop weeping when I just held his hand. It was I just want to say thank you, Pastor, for the lineage.
Amen. Thank him. Check, check.
Just along with what you're saying about being intentional, I've been trying to do that every day, just be intentional with what I do. And I realized sometimes when I go to the store, you know, I'm focused on getting my groceries, whatever I need. And I kept thinking, gosh, I just need to look up. You know, I need to stop being focused on what I'm doing and look around me. And that scripture came to my head about the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It says, lift your eyes up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like God's been telling me this from the beginning, and I just never grasped it. But we need to lift our eyes up. And if I could share a brief testimony of a girl that when we were on our trip, I don't think I shared this with you guys, but it was really awesome. We just had so many things happen where it slowed us down, and it was one of those things where you could get frustrated at what was going on, or you could realize, God, you're doing something here. You're slowing me down for some reason, and I need to look around me. And so that happened, and people in line were getting real frustrated, and I thought, okay, God, what are you doing? And then I walked outside, and it just so happened at the same moment, this car whips in front of me, and a girl jumps out of the car, and she asked me for money. And I said, you know what, I really don't think I have any cash, but I can check. And so we parked way in the back of the parking lot, so I walked over there to get it. And as I'm walking, I'm praying, saying, God, this is one of those moments you're trying to get my attention. And so as I walked back to give her the money, I'll tell you, it was the absolute easiest salvation I have ever led anybody through. This girl was so hungry, and she didn't know for what. And I just asked her, do you know Jesus? And, you know, she said, well, I know who he is. And I said, well, do you have a relationship with him? And she's like, no. And I said, do you want to have a relationship with him? And she said, yes. I was like, I'm like fumbling over my words because it was so easy. You know, I didn't have to force her to think a certain way. She knew she needed something. And it was just so awesome. I just led her to the Lord right there. And her daughter got out of the car, and she was probably about 8. And I asked first I asked her mom, is it okay if I, you know, pray for your daughter? And she said, that's fine. And I asked her daughter, do you know Jesus? She said, yeah. And I said, how do you know him or something? And she said, he lives in my heart. And I was like, awesome, you know. So anyways.
It's the faith of a child. It's not hard. He just wants us to live it. He wants us to be the light to this world. And we do that just by living life and then seeing what opportunities he puts in front of us. But he loves you. And he has blessed you. And he's going to continue to bless you. And he will keep you in that corral to keep the predators at bay. So I just encourage you today to let him keep you and receive his blessing. And then just think about how good he is, and he will walk you through. So Lord, we just thank you today that you are such a good Father, that you love us so much. And that you do care about everything that we go through. But Lord, your word over and over and over and over tells us how you've blessed us and how you are blessing us and how you love us. And that love will never fail. And that love can't be taken away. And that people can't condemn you. And they may say things, but when we know where we stand, it can't penetrate us. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you that you are so good, that you have thought of everything. You haven't left out a thing. And, Lord, help us to be sensitive to those impulses of the Holy Spirit. That we would be obedient to them. And that those impulses would be the things that infuse us and gives us life and drives us. And so, Lord, today we're just grateful. Thank you. for loving us and providing for us and for keeping us in Jesus' name.